There's no disputing cattle prices are at record highs. The major price measurement, the Eastern Young Cattle Indicator, still sits at an all-time high, despite falling slightly yesterday for the first time in many weeks. But as one consultant puts it, it's just that the prices people are quoting are in nominal terms, not real terms.
There may be record highs in nominal terms, Ali, but I think to get the full picture, you need to look at long-term prices in real terms, which is stripping inflation out of it and see how they actually compare to changes in purchasing power over time. And when you do that, prices at the moment are about where they were 30 years ago.
Ian McLean, who's a beef consultant and the co-author of Meat and Livestock Australia's Northern Beef Report. Mr. McLean has raised the frustrations of many graziers who've contacted the ABC, who are sick of hearing about record prices when they say that's simply not the story. Ian McLean says a reality check is needed, and he has the data to prove it.
I've got a data set that I use, which is based on the Queensland Cattle Market Indicator, and that's adjusted for inflation over time to express it in real terms. The market's very cyclical over time when we look at it without inflation, and we are approaching, I think, a cyclical high, but definitely not a record high. There's been times in the 80s, 90s and 2000s where the prices were higher in real terms than they are at the moment. We're approaching a cyclical high, which is definitely good for the industry, but it's not a record high.
So where do prices need to be for it to be an all-time record, since we're crunching numbers?
I'm not sure, Ali. I haven't got a number to put on it, and then that may put a target on it, and that results in us focusing on price. I think that price is getting probably more attention than they deserve, and that people should be focusing on their cost of production at the business level, because regardless of where the market prices are at, it's going to be those producers with the lowest cost of production that are making the most money through all market cycles.
People might say, Ian McLean, you're being a killjoy. There are record highs, let us enjoy them.
Oh, definitely, and I don't mean to be a killjoy, and I know I can come across that way, and I think people should make hay while the sun shines, take advantage of these high prices while they are here. However, I don't believe that they are the new normal. I think they are a cyclical high. I wouldn't be basing long-term budgets on where prices are at the moment, but definitely make the most of them. But going forward from here, I don't think we can expect them to stay this high forever.
So let's just clarify the need to focus on productivity. What's the concept there? Because people talk about costs and costs of imports.
That's it. And like I said, cost of production is where I think people should be focusing on. And unfortunately, cost of production is a bad term, because people usually say, well, I've already cut my costs as much as I can. There's not much I can do there. And that's right. The most effective way for most beef businesses to lower their cost of production is to increase their productivity, the amount of kilos that they produce over the long term. And there is a surprising amount that can be done to increase productivity across the beef industry.
What sort of things?
In the Northern Beef Report, we found, and was also reflected in the Cash Cow Report and the Breeder Cow Mortality Project, there is a wide diversion, even with neighbouring stations or properties with similar land types and cattle, in terms of the reproductive rates they're getting, the weight gains they're getting, and the mortality rates they're getting. Small changes in each of those areas can make a big difference to the productivity of businesses, and they're the things that make a big difference to the bottom line of businesses.
So what you're saying is getting back to basics is the key, not really just jumping up and down about great prices.
That's very much my focus, Ali. While the prices are good while they're here and we should enjoy them, the focus should be what can be done within the boundary fence over the long term through all seasonal and market conditions to produce the most beef at the lowest cost. It'll be those businesses that are the healthiest going forward, I believe.
Third-generation Queensland grazier Charles Nason says he agrees that people are mistaking the current record prices as the saviour of the industry, when in reality there's not many profitable businesses in the beef game. Mr. Nason runs a mixed farming and cattle operation near Surratt in southern Queensland, and he says there are some enormous policy issues facing agriculture.
Oh, I think this is a conclusion I've come to and a few others, that really a lot of problems with agriculture is because basically people the people that make, you know, who represent us and the people that make policy in Canberra don't seem to understand agriculture. The white paper, my thought was, it addressed the symptoms. I've heard Mick Keogh from the AFI say much the same. Ben Rees, an economist from Miles, has been saying this for years, that it's not market failure, it's policy failure. The question we should be asking of all of us, why has policy failed to deliver a sustainable and profitable agricultural industry for Australia? And the Northern Beef Situation Report, I believe, is probably indicative of poor profitability across all agricultural sectors, not just the beef industry.
So where to from here?
I think it's the old story. You look at yourself, but often you go and see what others have done. If you go around the world, most of the other developed countries look after agriculture very well because they understand the value of food security, which is why China's showing such a big interest in Australia. But I think over there in those places, there's a study of the discipline of agricultural policy. To make policy on something, you must understand agriculture and how it works. Come to Australia. Very few people study agricultural policy at all. John Taylor from Rangelands Australia, I gather, when he set up the scoping study to set up that course, identified agricultural policy as one of the deficiencies of study in Australia.